Shalom and welcome to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Am, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. This is Meditation and Mindfulness with Rabbi Adam Klickfeld.
Good morning, everyone. Hello to those who are joining us in Pilch Hall at Temple Beth Am. Hello to those joining us on Zoom. Hello to anyone watching on Facebook Live, either on my page or on the synagogue's profile.
Michael, you can take one step that way.
It's okay. We love you. I just don't want I don't want you to live stream you without your permission. And hello to anyone who's listening to this on the Temple Beth Am podcast. It's Friday morning. It's an opportunity for us to invest in self, invest in quiet, invest in reflection, invest in the delight of trying to turn off everything, turn away from everything except for the mind and except for breathing, and with a chance to use a little bit of a prompt to focus, right, to turn off almost everything and then to shine the spotlight just in one part of what we might be thinking about. Those of you who have meditated with me in the past, including last week, know that during the Omer, during the 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuot, a lot of my personal meditation and the meditations that I lead are based on the Kabbalistic overlay of the Omer. I give this brief intro every time so that if someone's listening to this for the first time, there's some context. In the Torah, the Omer was an agricultural period counting the early ripening barley harvest and expressing gratitude to that between Passover and Shavuot. Pentecost is sometimes referred to outside the Jewish tradition. Some people who are listening to this are not Jewish. And in the rabbinic era, that period was attached to the idea of the Israelites marching from Egypt to Mount Sinai and receiving Torah at Mount Sinai and beginning their union with God, with their reunion with God. And then in the Kabbalistic tradition, you know, 1,000+ years later, overlaid upon that was this notion of the Sefirot, the emanations of God, the aspects of God that are apparent in the world and that we're supposed to be searching for and supposed to be emulating. And then 7 by 7, each day of the Sefira represents a subset of each week of the Sefira, so a subset of the Sefira. So the second Sefira, which is the second week of the Omer, is the Sefira of Gvura. Gvura in mostly traditional Hebrew means strength, or heroism. In Kabbalistic Hebrew, Gvura means discipline, and it's either directly or indirectly connected to the mission that says, Ezehu gibor hakovej et yitzro. Who is the hero? Not the one with weaponry, but the one who conquers his or her own urges, right? It actually is heroic to conquer your urges, right? We all have them. We have urges towards the good. We have urges towards the less good. There are expressions of heroism that are like courage, but there are expressions of spiritual heroism, which is control. Control so that our expressions of ourselves and our actions and our desires can be in the realm of the holy and the realm of the permitted. So the second week of the Omer, we're supposed to be thinking about discipline, right? But we're in a subset, right? We are in Tiferet Shebagvura. And as I said last week, since we're always doing these on Fridays, we're always going to be in the Tiferet of one of the Sefirot. Tiferet, translated in classic Hebrew as crown or glory, translated in Kabbalistic Hebrew, compassion. Endless, unbounded compassion, expecting nothing bad. What would Tiferet Shebagvura be? Endless possibilities. What it speaks to me today is sometimes when we are asking ourselves to be more disciplined, we can overdo it and we don't have enough compassion for ourselves. Not every urge needs to be eliminated completely, needs to be channeled. In fact, most human urges to eat, to be intimate, to laugh come from good places. It is good to have a discipline on that so it stays in the realm of the fair. But too much of that and you become an enemy of yourself and you become an ascetic and you take too many things away from you. So part one of Tiferet Shebagvura, and I promise you we'll get to a meditation in a second. Part one of the Tiferet Shebagvura is to be loving to yourself, to be accepting of yourself, even as you are trying to be disciplined, even as you're trying to hold back. Can you hold back for yourself in a loving way and for others? Sometimes our expression of gvura, of discipline, is what we expect of others. We want them to be disciplined. In that week of discipline, we want to see discipline all around us. Tiferet sheba gvura is, can you have expectations of discipline in another, of restraint in another, that are kind, that are understanding, that are empathic, that are compassionate? You don't want to be a taskmaster of yourself or another. You don't want to be a pharaoh of yourself or another, even when you're aiming toward discipline and gvura. You want to do it with love and understanding and patience. With that in mind, I invite you to all to close your eyes and to settle in and to sink into this moment, to hold the position of your body with great intention and perhaps even with gvura, with discipline. Keep the movement and the fidgeting that we all do on some level to a minimum, and to become like a noble statue, as if God placed you in this position to stay. And as you hold this position, can you also think about and even give love to yourself, to your full being, to your body, even the parts of the body you may struggle with? Can you see yourself in this moment as God sees you? Fully beautiful. And beautifully human. And try to lean in and breathe into this double feeling of opposites. That you are soaring. You are flying. You are high above. You are not bound by gravity. You are light as air. You are air. A piece of you has left your body behind in the chair, and it is glorious. And from what you can see up there, everything looks different, and everything feels different. And try to feel the opposite, that you feel so heavy in a wonderful way, hugged by the earth, pulled into your seat into the ground, just delighting in the way in which your body is held and embraced by the chair that you're on and the earth on which we live. So you are up and you are down. You are light and you are heavy. You are at rest and you're very awake. And you breathe into gvura, discipline, the daily, hourly, minute by minute challenge to be disciplined, to not say everything you have an instinct to say, to not do everything you have an instinct to do, to wield some control over your mind, your actions, your urges, and your desires. This is the week of gvura. Holy discipline. What parts of you need a little reigning in. Not because they are bad, but because they might be spilling over the edges. If you were a gibor, a hero, who is kovesh et yitzro, as the rabbis say, conquering his urge or her urge, where does that show up in your life? Where do you need to be slightly more heroic? And yet we are in Tiferet Shebagvura, the approach to discipline that is compassionate and loving and understanding and patient and gentle towards you and others. As you identify the urges that need to be restrained this week, today, can you restrain them with love and with kindness to yourself? Don't overdo it, and don't overdo the restraint. That's the holy balance of this day of the Omer. And with respect to others, the people of whom you expect and ask restraint in all forms, a child, an employee, a staff member, a spouse, a friend. And you expect that gvura, that discipline by them, with tiferet, with compassion, with understanding, not like a ruler who rules with might, but who rules with love. Tiferet Shebagvura, the compassion of restraint, the gentleness of your heroism. Tiferet Shebagvura.
when you're ready, you can come to the surface, either from above or below or both, wherever you were. I'll share the closing meditation prayer, which we can say three times together to end this beautiful shared experience that we've each had in different places of the country and maybe even the world that we had together, which was a beautiful thing. May we and all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May we all be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. May we all experience true happiness that has no taint of suffering. May we live in great equanimity, free from burdening attachment to loved ones and contempt for others, but rather with compassion for all. May we and all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May we all be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. May we all experience true happiness that has no taint of suffering. And may we live in great equanimity, free from burdening attachment to loved ones and contempt for others, but rather with compassion for all. May we and all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May we all be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. May we all experience true happiness that has no taint of suffering. And may we live in great equanimity, free from burdening attachment to loved ones and contempt for others, but rather with compassion for all. I wish you all a shalom and a namaste and a Shabbat shalom and only peaceful things. And I'll see you all soon.
You have been listening to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Am, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. If you enjoy these podcasts, we invite you to write a review on the Apple Podcasts site or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about Temple Beth Am Los Angeles, go to tbala.org.